Our reading this morning is taken from John chapter 18. It's going to be verses 1 to 14. You can find that on page 1086 in the Church Bibles, page 1681 in the large print Bibles, on the screen behind me, and probably on your notice sheet as well. So you've got a great choice. John chapter 18. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, speak to us today that we may go from this place knowing that you are the living God. Amen. So we're back in John, and I just want to encourage you from last week. So many of you got prayed for. I hope that you continue to pray to be filled with the Spirit. You continue to ask God to do that. And I want to encourage you as well. If you notice, I started with a few little stories at the beginning. I would love to hear what God is doing during your week so that we can share these on a Sunday so people can hear what God is doing with people's lives. I'd love more testimony. You know, either give it to me written, not too long, because we have to make them, or even, you know, if you say to me, "I want to say something," I will let you do that, you know. So I'd love to have more stories of what God is doing in our lives. And I want to just encourage you to really trust in the power of the Holy Spirit and continue to be asked to be filled with God's presence, because that's when we make a real difference. This scripture is really interesting. I did think to myself, oh, I wish I'd given this to Simon, Steve, or David, or anyone else, because I don't really like this scripture. But anyway, that's not a good thing. It's a good thing when we don't like a scripture, because it challenges us to really kind of go, okay, What are you saying in this, Lord? What are you saying in this? What is message for the people out of this scripture? And I have to say, this was one of those for me. We all have our favorite and our less favorite scriptures. But this was, this is just before Jesus is arrested. Just before Jesus is arrested. And if you remember, he's been praying. You think back to the last few times we've been speaking about John. But he's praying. To do the hardest things, Jesus needs the power of the Spirit. Needs God, the Father. So if he needed him, how much more do we need him, I always think. Come on, let's be a praying church. Let's really be a praying church. Let's be a church that really pushes in hard to the Holy Spirit. Jesus needs the power of the Spirit. He's seeking the Father. So if you remember the last few chapters of John where Jesus is praying, he prays quite extensively, doesn't he? Those prayers include prayers for himself. They include prayers for his disciples, for us, for the whole world. They include those sort of prayers, don't they? And I thought, John must have heard that prayer. To write that down so well, John must have heard that prayer. How else could he have, written that down so well? And I thought, imagine hearing Jesus pray like that. What a challenge to how we pray, to how we seek Jesus, isn't it? So John, Jesus has finished praying, and now the passion begins. We talk about the passion. It's the passion of God who dies, who rises. He loves us so much, in fact, that he will give everything. That's passion, isn't it? Real passion. So the passion begins. Jesus is about to complete his mission on earth. And he crosses the Kidron Valley. This was a dark and deep ravine northwest of Jerusalem. And it's only actually mentioned in John's Gospel at this point. It's not mentioned in the other Gospels. He leaves his disciples and... he leaves with his disciples. He doesn't leave his disciples. He takes them with him. So he leaves with his disciples and he goes to the garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives. Can you imagine this night? Can you imagine it? Gethsemane. There he is. And the prayer where Jesus struggles, giving his life up, isn't actually mentioned here. Do you remember that prayer where he really struggles and says, Lord, I really don't kind of want to do this. Is there another way? Matthew 26 says, Jesus prays, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. And yet, not as I will, but as you will. Not as I will, but as you will. However, in verse 11 of chapter 18, there is, of course, a reference to that as well. He speaks of the cup that he must drink. The cup that he must drink. So you see that interlink happening between the Gospels, don't you? So Jesus is waiting and knowing what is to come. John 10:18, Jesus says, No one takes this life from me. That's kind of key. That's key to what I want to bring out of this. No one takes this life from me. He doesn't avoid what is to come. He doesn't avoid it, does he? He's in charge, and he will give his life so we can have life forever. This is the theme that runs through the whole of these verses. God is in charge. God is in control. God is the main man. Then we have Judas, his disciple, one of the 12, betraying him. Judas actually guides them to Jesus in Matthew 26:48-49. Jesus betrays him with a kiss. Can you imagine what that felt like? Can you imagine how Jesus felt? One of his closest friends, companions, disciples. And there he is, betraying him with a kiss. An intimate greeting becomes the kiss of death. How many of us have been betrayed like that? How many of us have felt that betrayal? Jesus experienced everything we experienced. I can remember at one of my very lowest times, I recall someone really turning on me. I still don't actually understand why. Really turning. They deliberately spread lies. They tried to turn people against me. It was very odd. Very odd. And it's then that you really have to learn to trust God and to keep your integrity, isn't it? Because it's very easy to go, hang on a minute. That's not right. That's not right. And the devil will always, can I just say, the devil will always attack relationships. God is about relationship. The whole thing is about relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinitarian. Relationship with us. Relationship with God will, God won't attack. The devil will always attack relationships. Be very careful how you deal with each other. How we deal with each other. Very careful. And look at it very carefully. And remember that. Anyway, the soldiers come. They come with lanterns to find him in case he hides from them. But of course he doesn't. This is destined to happen. It has to happen. He knows that. He knows it. It's not a surprise to him. Jesus is not surprised by what's about to happen. He goes out to them. They don't have to fight him to find him, do they? Jesus goes, hey, here I am. Here I am, yeah. It's my time. It's my time. I'm going to give it all. Judas doesn't need to point him out even, actually, because he just gives himself up. God is in control. God is in control. That's the God we serve and know. Jesus possibly goes to them so that he wants to keep the situation calm. He doesn't want his disciples in danger. It's really important his disciples make it to him, because actually they are needed for the future kingdom work that's going to happen. He will fulfill his mission so that they can fill theirs, in other words. He dies and rises, and they go off, as we know, and spread the gospel right across every nation. Amazing God. And he asks the question, who is it that you want? Who is it you're looking for? Who is it, eh? They say his name, of course, and he says, here I am. It's that easy. You have no control over me. That's what he's saying. You have no control over me. I'm giving my life. He's ready there, fulfilling his mission. He is ready to die. And there's an amazing bit there, isn't there? In the presence of Jesus, they don't stand. They fall to the ground. Wouldn't you think that would have an impact on them that might make them think, I'm not going to mess with this. This is the presence of God. This is the power of God. What was going on at that point? But he asked them again. He repeats and the question. He says, you know, who are you looking for? Where? Here I am. I just wonder, why did he ask twice? Why did he ask twice? Maybe to give them a chance to change their minds. They've just seen the power of God. They've experienced it. Maybe to give them a chance. I don't know. The commentaries aren't very clear on that. But what an amazing experience. There they are. The power of God comes down. They fall to their knees. And yet here, they're just intent on doing their job. Sometimes I wonder if we're a bit too intent on doing our job. We miss Jesus. So intent on doing our own thing. Do we miss his presence? See, Jesus is in control. And when he's in control, though, he continually thinks of others. He asks that his followers are safe. He prayed that earlier. In the prayers previous, if you remember, he had prayed that. He prayed that not one of them would be lost. Those ones you've given to me, Father, don't let them be lost, he says. Always thinking of the greater mission. His words have power. His words become truth, don't they? And that's what there is happening there. Simon Peter, though, then comes along, if you can imagine, passionate Simon. We love Simon because he always gets it wrong, don't we? But he gets a lot right, actually. He gets more right than he gets wrong, and we sometimes forget that. But at this point, a little wrong. Passionate and reckless. Draws his sword, and it's possible that word actually meant knife, not sword, because there's a question over why Peter would walk around with a sword. But anyway, he cuts off the high priest's servant ear. And I love the fact that he's named Malchus. He's named. They name him. There he is. And wonderful little details in the scripture, aren't there? John's wonderful at giving us little details like that. And it's like, you know, there he is. There's the man whose ear was cut off. And Jesus just says, stop. I have to do this. What you see is defeat, is victory. And so often in our lives we forget that. Sometimes when we're going through our hardest times, actually that's when the victory is going to be won. Isn't it? We forget that. He says, stop, I've got to do this. This is my mission. I have come to do this. Jesus then, of course, is arrested and he's bound. And he's taken to be a sacrifice for the people to the high priest. And in verse 11, he states, this is the cup the Father has given me. He actually uses similar words in John 6:39, where he says, this is the will of the Father who sent me. He's in control. God is in control. Nobody is doing this to God. He's a big God. Amazing God. See, John is making sure that we know that it was intended, that Jesus is completely in control of what is happening, that he is fulfilling his mission. He's making sure we know that. that in defeat there is victory. When we go God's way, things happen that are good, even in the mess. Even in the mess. You see, Jesus, his cup is a cup of suffering. It's a cup of isolation. And he has to endure that in order to reconcile us to God. And he cannot, and he knows he cannot, skip the sacrifice in order to obtain the victory. He has to go through this to get to the victory. And sometimes I think life can feel a little bit like that for us. It's not what we go through, it's how we go through it. Is that not true? Think of the disciples in jail, singing. Stephen, as he was stoned. It's not what we go through, it's how we go through it and who we go through it with. Jesus is determined, you see, to fulfill his mission. He's passionate about us. That means he's passionate about you. He still is, by the way. He's passionate about you. He's passionate about me. He's passionate about the world that he created. You know, we've been doing a little bit of that about the creation and coming to, you know, salvation. And actually, you know, he's passionate about everything he has created. And he will bring them back into relationship with himself, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. And that's what this is about. So the point is, and the point I want to draw out here, you might have caught on, is I want to say, who do you trust? Giving control is about who you trust and what you trust. Do you trust Jesus? Have you said, your will, not mine? Who's in control of your life? Honestly. Because it's not easy to give your control over to God. It's not easy to give your control over to anyone. Who's in control? We know that God was completely in control of those events here. He could have stopped it at any moment. And Jesus knew that, though, that to achieve eternal salvation, to achieve reconciliation with God the Father, he had to sacrifice himself to death so he could conquer death. We sometimes have to go through things to conquer them. Okay? You cannot conquer something if you don't engage with it. And Jesus fully engaged here. You cannot conquer it unless you engage with it. It's only by overpowering something we conquer it. The word conquer actually means to take control and overcome. Take control and overcome. Brilliant word. See, Jesus took control and he overcame death by meeting death on the cross. For you and for me. And for this wonderful world we live in. For relationship with us. That's how important relationship is. That's why it always comes under attack. See, Jesus took control. He then had the victory. That means he defeated the enemy. Defeated the enemy, didn't he? On the cross, resurrection. We so often get stuck on the cross and we don't move to the resurrection in our life and how we live. But to do this, Jesus had to give up control to the God the Father. If you remember, he says, your will, not mine. Knowing that that would achieve the greater good. The greater good in your life and my life will be achieved when we say, not my will, but yours. Not your way, my way, but your way. He did it, didn't he, with humility and trust, knowing that the end result would be a fulfillment of his mission, that it would free up humankind and creation from sin, corruption, death, all the things that grip our existence in a negative way. Amazing God. And so often in our own lives, it's about control, isn't it? It's about control. Last week we prayed to receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know, one of the main things that stops people being prayed to be filled with the Spirit, or I'm not having a go at those that didn't, by the way, I just meant generally, or asking the Holy Spirit into our lives is people are afraid of losing control. They're afraid that the Holy Spirit might do all sorts of stuff with them. And yet God is good. God's presence is God. God's power is God. What do you think God is going to do to you other than good things? They're afraid if they invite the Holy Spirit, they'll no longer have control. Well, do you know what? You don't have control anyway. Neither do I. There may be issues in your life that you're struggling with that you may need to let go of, and you're not willing to trust God with them. You're not willing to say, your will, not mine. How honest are we about this control in our life? How honest are we about Jesus having every area of our lives? And by the way, this is an ongoing process. Don't think you've got it all done, because we haven't. We always have to be asking ourselves, Lord, it's your will, not mine. This is about a way of life. But how honest are we? Is Jesus the center? Are we guided by the Holy Spirit? Do we do the Father's will? Are we continually asking ourselves those questions? Lord, what would you do in this place? What would you do about this situation? Lord, how can you change me so I can cope with this? Where are you paralyzed in your life because you have not given control to God? Because it paralyzes you, doesn't it, when you can't do something. It's like, well, hang on. Are you afraid to let Jesus speak to your heart in case you realize you're maybe going in the wrong direction? I sometimes think that's why we don't like being in silence, because God just might speak to us and we might actually have to hear him. And it's so important we are a praying church that hear from the Holy Spirit, who hear God. You see, he conquered death. So think what he can do with your life. God conquered death. He is alive today. That's the God we're called to trust. What areas in your life need resurrection? You see, it's in giving up control to God that we're able to walk the difficult paths fully. The situation may not change. I'm just telling you that because look in the Bible, it didn't always change. And we can't avoid pain. We can't avoid pain. And sometimes it's the pain that gets us to the victory. It's tough. But it's in this we become more when we trust and accept Jesus is in it with us. He's in it with us. He's not separate. He's in it with you. Listen. Listen to him. It's not what we go through. It's how and who we go through it with that determines the result. Which is where we can go, okay, I accept. Are there things in your life that have a hold over you? That control you? That's what I said, we never have control. There's always things controlling us. Give them to Jesus. So often we think we have the control when in fact we don't. Because it's those things that paralyze and stop us walking into freedom that actually are controlling us, isn't it? Who is in control of your life? Did you think it was you? Well, I can tell you now, it'll be those things that hold you back. The fear of failure. The fear of stepping out. Immorality. The wrong perceptions of ourselves, not seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. Being our own saviours, unforgiveness, disappointment, bitterness, selfish ambition. Whatever it is, those are things that control us if we're not careful. And again, it's a lifelong process of being saved. We work it out ourselves. We're saved, we work out our salvation. How are you going to live it? How are you going to live for Jesus? Who's going to have control? We have a choice when we say, come Holy Spirit. When we say, your will, not yours, will, not ours, to Jesus. We can have freedom, but it's in giving up control to Jesus that we win. Jesus had to let go of his life on the cross, but in it, we had rebirth. So I want to just encourage you today to take a chance to be reborn. To say by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, Jesus, take control. To say no to those things that hold you nailed to the cross and trust so you can walk free into the resurrection. Who is in control? It's a lifetime of saying, your will, not mine. But if you do, you have victory. I'm going to pray now. I encourage you just to stand if you can. If you can't, that's okay. I'm just going to ask you just to spend a few moments in quiet thinking of those things, maybe, where you want to give Jesus the control. Those things in your life, maybe, that need dealing with. So you can live in freedom. So you can say, Lord, help me in my circumstances. Change me, change them. Holy Spirit, we call on you now to just minister to us, to speak to our hearts. And I want to remind you that there's prayer ministry team over here, and if you need prayer for you, get it. I want to remind you that you can go from this place free. Let's first just say sorry to God for those areas in our life where maybe we've held on. Those times when we've actually been the one that's destroyed relationships in our lives. Even relationship with God. Lord, you are a forgiving God. Let us receive your forgiveness. And just say yes to Jesus. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Take control over us now by the power of your Spirit. That every day we will say, your will, not ours.